Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand, church. Can I have all y'all stand up? Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing today? How about if we say we're in the presence of the Lord? Amen, amen. We want to welcome all the campuses. God bless you. I'm Miles McPherson, and we're so excited today as we enter into our third week of the fast. And again, if you are not fasting, please go to our website. We got one more week left. You can go past that, but join us. Give something up for God and watch God do something in your life. I tell you from decades of fasting that it is the most powerful spiritual thing you can do. Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There's some things that'll never happen in your life until you let go of some things that you're holding on to. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your faithfulness. We just pray you bless us today. Challenge us. Holy Spirit, we collectively give you permission to get into our business. Speak to us, encourage us, jam us up, convict us of our sin that we may repent. Lord, we just thank you. We can't do it from preaching. We can't do it from singing. We have to do it from submitting to the presence of the Spirit of God in our life. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, God's got something for you. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Everyone say, let's go, let's go. Turn to the person next to you and say, let's go. Let's go, let's go. All right, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. How many of y'all got drama in your life? How many of y'all got drama in your life, okay? How many of y'all, hey, listen, how many of y'all don't have drama in your life? Oh, gosh, can we talk? What is that like? Come on, baby, come on, baby. Hey, all y'all who have drama in your life, raise your hand. Say, I have victory in Jesus' name. The devil has lost in Jesus' name. I'm ready to fight in Jesus' name. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. If all you got today was that, hopefully you're good, okay? If all you got today was that. Next week is Miracle Sunday. Now, we have never done a Miracle Sunday. I pray for healing many, many times, but we've never had a service, a whole complete service, all about healing, and we don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be awesome, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to be praying about not only coming, obviously, but I want you to think about something you want to be healed. That means something you want to be aligned with the kingdom of God. It could be your perception of yourself. It could be your finances. It could be your physical health. Whatever is in your life that needs to be straightened out, and come with that. But also go out and bring somebody. There's people in your life who are struggling with stuff. Can I get amen? We all got something. So come next week. We're going to talk about relational healing, emotional healing. We're going to talk about physical healing. Actually, we're going to pray for, we're going to have a moment for just relational healing. You, yourself, me, myself, and I, and God, and friends. And then we're going to pray for physical healing, physical, emotional. Then we're going to pray for financial, your business, your finances, or whatever it is. And we're going to have a specific prayer time for each one of those. And we're going to see miracles. I keep getting into my head, wheelchair, wheelchair, wheelchair. And someone's going to get up out of a wheelchair. That's what I'm talking about. And so don't come. Hey, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So that's what I'm praying for. I'm not praying that you stop eating sugar. I mean, you don't need God for that. You just need a little willpower. But we want God to do something supernatural. Amen? Amen. Okay, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to look at John today. We have a school here at The Rock. Last week, the Rock Academy was hosted a service here in Point Loma. Amen. Come on, let's give them a hand. And that we have all kinds of amazing sports teams and robotic teams and AP classes. This is an amazing school. And I went to a couple of football games with my grandson. My grandson's 11. So he says, Grampy, we're driving. Grampy, do you think we could stand on the sideline? I said, yeah, no problem. He goes, you sure? I said, yeah. I got it. He says, have you ever done it before? Like, who are you going to talk to? You know, what if someone comes and gets us? I said, MJ, we can stand on the sideline. I know people. I'm a pastor. I know the guy. It's okay. So we get there and we're walking up to the field and there's like five people there, right? Because it's like an hour before, whatever, half hour before the game. And he's like, do you think we're gonna get on the field? And who's, you know, who, do you have to ask somebody? I'm like, bro, we're gonna get on the field. So we get on the field and this is like, you know, an hour before the game, whatever it is. And he says, Grampy, you think we can go on the field when they're warming up? I said, yeah, we can go on the field. He said, you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. I know the coach. He says, is anybody going to, we have to ask anybody? I said, no, we don't have to ask anybody. Like, what if someone comes and gets us? How do you know, Grant? I said, bro, we're good. We're going to walk on the field. The reason he was asking me that is because he didn't know who I was. He didn't know the access that I had. He didn't know I was the, I mean, he knows I'm the pastor of the church, but he didn't know what that meant. And he didn't know who he was in proximity to me. When you get saved, your identity changes. And your relationship with the Creator changes. You have different access to God. You have different resources. You have different power. But a lot of times you don't know it. And that new identity that you have should impact how you respond to people, how you respond to sin, but most importantly, well, at least in pertaining to this series, how you pray. Your prayer should flow and will flow from your identity. Everyone say, prayer flows from identity. The Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Everyone say, it is no longer I who live. Say, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul uses, I think, 150 times the term in Christ. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, now you are in Christ. That means what's true for him is what's true for you. I want you to think about this. I want you to chew on this for a minute. When you give your life to Christ, you are now in Christ. What's true for him is what's true for you. Why? Because he stands there advocating for you. He's praying for you every day. When you get up and pray, 2 weeks ago when I was here, I talked about praying, thank you, sorry, please. Everyone say thank you. Say thank you. Say sorry. Say please. And I'm hopping through the tabernacle. If you were here 2 weeks ago, remember the tabernacle was on the screen. And when you walk into his gates with thanksgiving, you say, thank you, God. Then you walk to the brazen laver and you say, sorry, God. And then you walk into the holy place and say, God, I want to pray for my friends, my family, my enemies, and myself. You have to know who you are. You're not walking in there as a villain. You're walking in there as covered in the blood of Jesus, forgiven. So you are in Christ. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is what? He's a new creature. The old things are gone, passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old is gone. You were a gossip before. It's gone. Now, you may not think so, so you keep gossiping, but you're free. You don't need to do it anymore. You don't need to do it anymore. Why? Because you gossiped before because you felt bad about yourself. But now that you're in Christ, there's nothing to feel bad about. You have victory. Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Say, in Christ. There's no condemnation over your head. God's not looking at you going, what's wrong with you? He's looking at you going, I love you. He's looking at you saying, you're forgiven. But you're like, yeah, what about this? What about this? He said, what about what? Because your sin I put behind my back. Your sin I remember no more. Your sin I separate as far as the east is from the west. So I don't know what you're talking about. And the devil's in your head telling you all this negative stuff about you, but you're in Christ. That's gone. So instead of walking around praying like, dear God, I hope he hears me. He's like, what are you talking about? You're talking to me. My son is advocating for you. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. The love that I expressed on the cross covers all your sin. Come to me, come to the throne, boldly, because you have been accepted. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Everyone say, every spiritual blessing. Say aloud, say every spiritual blessing. Not one, not two, not three. Every, and I don't even know how many every is. I met a guy the other day, and he has a PhD in light. Oh gosh, oh my gosh. You don't even know what I just said. He has, you just don't. He has a PhD in light, lasers. And I could talk for 20 minutes about what I learned when I was talking to him, but I just want to tell you this one thing. We know light, the colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv, remember that? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Everybody say Roy G. Biv. That's the colors of the rainbow. Okay, so those are the colors of the rainbow. Boom, boom, boom. Each color has, the reason they're different colors is because it is a different frequency. Every color has a frequency. Light has a frequency. So if you change the frequency, you change the color. So whenever you see things different colors, it's because of the frequency that of the light that it's reflecting. That's all that means. But we can know Roy G. Biv, I think it's 8 colors. There are hundreds of other ones we don't see. There's hundreds of other ones we don't see. And he says, I deal with those. Why am I telling you this? There's so much about the physical world we don't know. Imagine the spiritual world when God says, I have given you blessings that are way beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. But if you're walking around thinking, I don't even deserve it, versus saying, God, show me. God, give it to me. I need freedom. How many of y'all need freedom? Raise your hand if you need freedom. Come on, somebody. And God, I want freedom. I want your power, but not for my benefit. I want your power for your benefit. I want you to change me, transform my life, but I want you to change and transform lives through me. And so Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Why? Because you are in Christ. In Christ. So what's the point? If you don't know your identity, you can't pray right. So today we're going to ask you two very simple questions. Who am I that I now belong to him? Who are you that now you belong to him? And the second question is, how does that, my new identity, impact how I pray? Because if you pray like a scared little kid, and if your identity is all wrapped up in you, you're going to pray like, dear God, I did this, instead of saying, dear Lord, here's what you have done. Here's what you have promised. Here's what you have already gone ahead of me and declared. I want that. And God has something better for you. God has something better for you than you can ever ask or imagine. And the devil wants to beat you down and say you don't deserve it. And all you have to do is say to the devil, I don't deserve it, but I'm in Christ and he deserves it, so I got it. I'm good, right? Come on, somebody. So what we're going to do, we're going to look in the book of John. In the book of John, Jesus tells us who he is, and if we know who he is, then we know who we are. Because if you know who Jesus is, then you know who you are. Because you are now in Christ. Say, in Christ. In Christ. And so whatever Jesus is, he's going to impact your life because you have been crucified. You don't exist anymore. You have been crucified. Lord, I don't want to make the decisions. I want your wisdom. I don't want to do this on my own strength. I want your strength. Listen, during the fast, I mean, for all of you who are fasting and seriously not eating like you normally do, you're going to get weaker. So your strength goes from here. You've been working out, so it's a little bit here, and now it's back down to here. God said, my strength is up through the roof. So why are you trusting them little, puny little muscles? Come on, bro. Listen, I'm going to give you. So what we're going to do is learn who Jesus is. And we're going to learn who Jesus is because he said, I am something 7 times. We're going to look at the 7 I am statements. And when we look at Jesus' 7 I am statements, we're going to learn who is he saying he is and how does that impact me and then how does that impact my prayer life. I'm going to say it again. Once we know who Jesus is, then we know who we are, then we know how we should pray. Once we know who Jesus is, then we know who we are, then we know how we should pray. Can I get an amen? But let's go to John 8:58. I'm sorry if I said John 6. Go to John 8:58 because this is where Jesus first says, I am that I am, technically. He said, John 8:58, he's having a discussion with the religious leaders. He's talking about freedom. And they appealed to Moses, and he said, Abraham, their father. They said, you could say this, but here's what our father Abraham says. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I was. Come on, someone correct me now. Say no, 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 no. Say no, 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 no. Say hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Everyone say, I am. When Moses was in the garden, I mean, not in the garden, was in Mount Sinai, and he was walking around, and there was a burning bush, and he goes up to the burning bush, and the burning bush starts talking to him, and it was God. And in that conversation, Exodus 3:14, he says to God, he says to the burning bush, well, if I ask people what your name is, what is your name? He says, I am that I am. Yahweh, Yehovah. In Hebrew, in Greek, is where it's written here. Ego I me. I am self-existent, not uncreated. He is the beginningless beginner. For all of you who are into evolution or the Big Bang, there was a beginning. Science proves that there was a beginning. But science will also tell you that if there was a beginning, it has to have a beginner. Anything that has begun must have a beginner. That's a whole sermon. I can't wait to preach it. It's already baked in my head. But God is outside of what we know to be reality, the physical world. God is a self-existent God. He is the beginningless beginner, the uncreated creator, the uncaused cause. He is the answer to the problem, where did all this come from? So he is self-existent. When he says, I am that I am, he says, I always was, I am now, always will be. He has eternal presence. He has no beginning and no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Absolute authority, he defines reality. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's when he says, I am, that's what he's saying. I am the ultimate, eternal, unbridled source of all that is. Now, if you create something evil, he's not the source of that, you are. But he is the unbridled source. So as we look through these seven I am statements, Jesus is saying, I am the source of this. I cannot be denied, I cannot be held back, I cannot be muffled. I provide this source, this power, these opportunities, these open doors, these resources, these ideas to you with no limit. This is what God's saying to you about himself. And if you have that in you, then guess what? You have all that access to all of that because you're a new creature in Christ. And so we have to understand that we are not these mere little humans in God's way up there, and we have to just beg for God to listen to us. We are coming to him with his son's blood all over us, spiritually speaking, forgiven and accepted and anointed. Amen? Number one, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus fed 5,000 people in the same book, which ironically he says, and these 5,000 people came because they wanted food. And Jesus says, listen, you guys want food, you want bread because you think bread's gonna keep you alive. So he fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. He did a miracle to prove that his word was true, by the way. Whenever you see miracles in the Bible, one of the reasons for the miracle is to validate his word. And so he did a miracle. Matter of fact, he did a miracle for all these seven things. We might not go through all those miracles, but in this one, he fed 5,000 people bread. And he says, you guys, and he's talking to them, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to us. He says, you want me to do these miracles to provide for your needs, but you don't realize that I am the bread of life. All you need is me. You're chasing after money, you're chasing after cars, you're chasing after likes, you're chasing after status. He's chasing after a new raise, a new bonus, a new title. He says, you don't need any of that. And I'm not saying all that stuff has a use for it. Yes, it does. But he says, if that's the first thing you're looking to, you're in idolatry. He says, you need to realize that I am all you need. Look what the Bible says, Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Prayer flows from knowing I am filled in Christ. Everyone say with me, I am filled. Say, I am filled. Say, I am complete. If Jesus is the bread of life, you have all the sustenance you need. You are filled. You have access to all the satisfaction of all your appetites in God. So you don't have to beg. You already have it. Don't come saying, God, a lot of times we say, Lord, please, we pray you fill this place. He already has. We pray you speak to me. He's already speaking. What we need to be praying is, Lord, help me understand your presence. Help me engage your presence. Help me submit to your presence. Help me listen to what you're saying, because God is speaking to you. And there's probably times in your lives when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're like, oh, I got 3 more hours. And you hear this little voice say, get up and pray. Anybody hear that? Anybody? Come on, somebody. Come on, let's be honest. Anybody? Okay, maybe not. Okay, 3 o'clock, very good. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 10 minutes before you, whatever it is. And you're like, that ain't you. You don't want to get up. Can I get amen? You don't want to get up. And God's saying, hey, can I get a little time before you get on your phone? Can I get a little time before you turn the TV on? Just me and you. I've been trying to talk to you all day. I've been trying to talk to you all year. I've been trying to talk to you for 10 years. I first accepted the Lord when I was 19 years old. I was in spiritual shock for about a month, 2 months. I can't remember, it was a long time ago, but I had nobody in my life to teach me, so I just fell back into sin. 5 years. Four, 5 years. From when I was 19 and I was 24, God said to me and spoke to me, hey, whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready. That's gonna be your wife. You're gonna stop doing those drugs. I'm gonna change your life whenever you're ready. No lie. And I knew it. And he just said, I'm not gonna force you. God is not going to force you. He will let your pain speak to you. People change when staying the same is too painful. And if your life is jacked up now, God has opportunity for you, just waiting for you. So because he is the bread of life, and if you accept him into your life, you are complete. Prayer will flow from your completeness. Number two, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know what Jesus did in John, book of John? He healed a blind man. He says, I'm gonna give you sight. Jesus says, I can heal all of y'all's spiritual blindness. Some of y'all walk around in darkness and you're bumping into stuff, you're reaching for stuff, and you don't even know you're in darkness, by the way. You think you got it. You got your degree. Degrees are great, nothing wrong with them. You've got your money, money's great, nothing wrong with it. You've got your car, you got your house, you got the girl, you got the guy, whatever it is, all this stuff is great. Please, please, bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it. Only if it's God's plan. Because you may have the wrong girl, you may have the wrong car, you may be living in the wrong place. You want to be with God. So when God comes to your life, he says, I can open your eyes so you can see clearly now. I will give you sight. My word will be a lamp to your feet. If you want to see life from my perspective, I will help you. Because I am the light of the world. I am the source of all light. I'm the source of clarity of who you are and your vision. Next week we have our Miracle Sunday. God's gonna bring, you may come to church because you just wanna see what's gonna happen. And God says, I gotta deal with some stuff in your life. Because you got daddy hurt. You've been butt hurt for 20 years. You're not gonna receive, and I'm not pointing to anybody specific, but if God speaks to you, I am pointing to you specific. Let me do this. I'm gonna point to all of y'all just so we can cover our bases, right? You're not ever gonna get a miracle because you're holding on to a grudge against somebody. So the first thing we're gonna do next week is have forgiveness. Because if you're holding on to that, God said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. And then you're asking for a miracle. He said, no. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm gonna show you stuff about yourself and life that you never, look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once in darkness. Raise your hand if you know you used to walk in darkness. Okay? Raise your hand, the other hand, if you know you're still walking in darkness. Okay? Oh, God, thank you for being honest. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Prayer flows from knowing I am light in the Lord. God provides you a light that cannot be quenched. It provides you a light from heaven. And that light is not only for your life, that light is for you to help others see the light and walk in light. As people just watch you walk in light, they're like, where's he going? Why are they doing that? Well, it's like anybody who here invests in money. If you're smart, you go, what are they invested in? Can I do that? I don't want to just invest blind, Just, oh, I'm gonna pick a stock, or I'm gonna pick an investment. What are the smart people doing? And God, Jesus is saying, follow me, and I'll show you what life is all about. Number three, I am the door. Everyone say, I am the door. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out of and find pastures. The shepherds had to protect the door to the pen where the sheep were because the wolves would get in. He said, I'm only going to let the right sheep in this pen. God wants to give you opportunity. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access. Everyone say access. By faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know what God says? I want to give you access. This is me now. I don't know about you. This is me. I want access to everything God has for me. I want access to his love. I want access to his wisdom. I want access to opportunities. I want access to blessing. I want it. And Jesus says, I am access. I'm the only door that can get you there. So you have that. If you ask Christ to be your savior, you don't have to walk in saying, God, can I have access? You already have it. He said, come on, I'm inviting you in, let's go. The door is open, let's go. And so if you know that, you walk into his presence knowing that he is the door and he has given you access because you have been justified by faith. You have peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom you have access. You do not have access because you're cute. You do not have access because you claim the Rock Church. I can't tell you how many people come to me, hey, Pastor Miles, hey, I go to the Rock. And then 30 seconds later, well, I haven't been there in about 5 years. Listen, you can play that with me, even though I see through it all the time, but you can't do that with God. He's like, no, I'm access. You can't come to the door and say, I got money, I got good looks, I got a degree. He says, well, do you have Jesus? You have Jesus? Oh, come right on in. Come right on in. Number four, I am a good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. In John chapter 4, a nobleman comes up to him and says, my son is sick. Can you come heal him? And he goes, I know all my sheep. I know your son. I'll heal him from right here. By the way, next week when we do a Miracle Sunday, please bring somebody if you can. And listen, here's what you can say. Go up to somebody in your life and say, hey, look, I know you're struggling with cancer. I know you're struggling with, you know, depression. We're having a Miracle Sunday, and we're all going to be praying for healing. Can I invite you? There are people out there desperate. There are people out there with things that doctors cannot heal. God. Go out there and appeal. Say, listen, I don't know what's going to happen, but at least we're going to ask. The Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. We know God can do that, right? And so when he says, the nobleman says, can you heal my son? He goes, I know who your son is, and I got him. The reason I bring that up is because there may be somebody that you have that can't come to the service. We're still going to pray for him. Bring their name. Bring their burden and say, Lord, we know they're not in this building, but they're just as close because we're praying for them. They're right in front of me, even they're across the world. Amen? Number five, I am, by the way, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Prayer flows from knowing that I am known and cared for. When you come to God and say, Lord, I'm coming into your presence, he says, I already know who you are. I already know you. Dear Lord, please, and say it, but I already know your needs before you say it. And say, Lord, I know you know I need this. Acknowledge it. I know you know I'm hungry. Acknowledge it. I know you know I'm sad. I know you know I have nowhere else to go. He goes, I know, but I'm coming to you. Have a conversation with God based on the Bible, not your own. If God's I ams are not impacting your I am, your prayers are going to be all revolve around you and your weakness and your fears and your apprehensions. And it says here, prayer flows from being known. Number five, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. In John chapter 11, he rose Lazarus from the dead. He's a word picture. Hey, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, by the way, watch this. Everyone say, watch this. Can you imagine the audacity to walk up to a grave and say, watch this? Father, this is going to trip them out, huh? Let's get it done. Bam, they roll the stone away, and a dead man walks out. He ain't dead anymore, he's alive. You know what Jesus says? You have that life. Now that I live in you, that resurrection power is in you. You know there are Christians being raised from the dead all over the world? You know why very few miracles happen in the United States of America? It's because we are distracted by all that we have. Why is the same God we serve raising people from the dead all over the world? Why is the same God in Iran, by the way, people having dreams of Jesus and getting saved by the thousands? Why? Because of desperation. But we, I go to church, maybe not. I bring my Bible, maybe not. I don't know. There's a football game on. It's sunny day. I'm not going to go. So that's why nothing happened in your life. You got to come get it. You gotta come get it. The only reason I'm married to my wife, because I pursued that. I planned, strategized, put effort and thought and persistence. And God's way better than her. He's way better than me. Number six, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said in John 8, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what?
Free.
Prayer flows from knowing I am walking in truth. Prayer flows from that. I'm not coming to God. Lord, I'm coming based on your word. The best thing you can do when you pray is to use God's word in your prayers. Don't pray jibber jabber dibbity 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 hip 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 hop hip hip, don't stop rocking to the bang bang boogie up jump the boogie 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 beat. Don't do that. Just say, Lord, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you love me, you died for me, you rose from death for me, that you are the resurrection and the life, you are the light of the world, you are the open door. I'm coming to you based on your promises. Prayer flows from knowing I'm walking in the truth. And lastly, Jesus says, I am the vine. John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, for without me you can do nothing. Say nothing. This is kind of cap it off. You can't do nothing without him. Say nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, yeah, you can go get a job, you can get dressed, you can buy stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually. Can't do anything. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Prayer flows from knowing I am connected and fruitful. I'm plugged in to him. And I'm drawn on his power and his strength and his wisdom. I'll give you this to think about. Every area of your life, financial, physical, relational, internal, how you view yourself, how you interact with every single person, how you view the world, every aspect of your life, we need to say, Lord, I want to submit it all so it's aligned with thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every part of my life, I want to be aligned with what you created it to be. If you just every day prayed that based on God's promises and you came to him saying, Lord, I know who I am in you. I'm coming to you, God. I want kingdom alignment in my life. I don't want to live the Christianity I see in the world. I want it the way you see it. Align my life. Pray with me right now, church. Just close your heads and bow your, eyes. If you want to do that, that's fine. Bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, I thank you that all these people came to church Sunday. I thank you that they took their time to come sit with us, worship with us, pray with us, get in the Word together. But I pray for kingdom of God alignment in their life. I pray they would know who they are in Christ. If you want kingdom of God alignment in any part of your life, your health, your finances, your self-perception, a relationship with somebody in your life or somebody's, just raise your hand if you just want kingdom of God alignment. Raise your hand really high, church, really high, really high, really high, really high. So if your hand's down, that means you don't want it. That's what I would assume. Okay, more hands go up. Put your hands up. Let's be active. There we go. Raise your hand. Lord, I pray for all those people's hands. I pray that they would ask you, knowing that you love them, for kingdom of God alignment, and that you would reveal to them, Lord, that in order for that to happen, you're gonna do something, but they have to do something. And it starts with them raising their hand. Receiving a blessing from God requires that we obey God, that we submit to God, that we call on God, that we are persistent to not stop praying. Pray without ceasing means praying without ceasing. It means obeying without ceasing. So I pray in Jesus' name for all these hands that you bless them, that you move in their heart. And as we have baptism Sunday, they get baptized today and celebrate that. But we pray for next week that we would come prepared for miracles, supernatural acts that bring alignment to some part of our life. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, church.